So I have the pleasure of sharing the word of God with us today. And I know that this word is not just for you, but for me. I don't even know if to say it's primarily for me. So I am receiving instruction from the Lord, and I'm receiving encouragement from the Lord today, even though I am the vessel that the Lord is going to use. Amen. So please set your heart to receive from the Lord, because he has something for you. I titled the message today, I am for signs and wonders. I am for signs and wonders. It seems like it's a declaration. It's like a prophecy, or we're just saying what is in line with our theme this month and at the convention. But I want you to know that that is God's desire for you. That's what he created you to be a sign and to be a wonder. I would like us to read this scripture, Isaiah 8:18. Here I am, and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And if you were to personalize that, you would say that I am for signs and wonders in where? In Chicago, in my home, everywhere that the Lord has placed me. You can personalize that. And I want us to, first of all, take a step back to say, to see who declares this about us. It is the God who is the God of signs and wonders himself. He is the great God. Because we need to, the reason why we need to step back is because our power, our authority, or whatever we can exhibit as a sign, as a wonder, is based off of the God of signs and wonders. So we need to really take a step back and say, okay, can we just examine this God for a little bit to see how great he is, how mighty he is. And if we take a look at creation itself, you'll see how vast it is, how great it is. And there's a song that says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the works of your hands, I have no option but to say how great you are. I'm sure, well, I guess most of us here were born in Africa. How was your experience when you first saw the snow? Did you feel like, oh, did you feel like you were in heaven? It was like, oh, can I taste it? Can I touch it? Can I, like, you want to take pictures with it? Well, that was my experience. I have no, shyness about that. I wasn't born here. But when I first saw the snow, I was so excited. But do you know that every snowflake is unique? It's unique. As much as it is, and how it comes every year, or mostly in most places, it is unique. Okay, look at the mountains. Look at the birds, the different types of birds. Look at us as human beings, how God created us. Each one of us, as many as we are, billions, we have unique faces, we have unique thumbprints. That shows how great and how mighty God is. The Bible says concerning him that God has heaven as his throne, and the earth is his footstool. We see in scripture the different ways God, just showed his power and his might through the people of Israel, through his chosen ones. I'd like us to read this scripture about the mightiness of God. Isaiah 66 verse 1. I think I already mentioned it. That he said, that says, the heaven is my throne, God is saying here, and the earth is my footstool, just showing the mightiness of God. But as mighty as he is, he's also so specific in the little details of your life and my life. If we read Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, we would see that he has each of our hairs numbered. So we're billions, right? We're so many, we can't even count. But each and every one of us, and that is current, right? What about the people that have passed on? What about the ones that are, they're still coming? God, and when I was meditating on this fact that God has our hairs numbered, I visually said he knows the number of hair strands I have. thinking about it this morning as I was meditating on that scripture, I realized that it didn't really say that. It said that the hairs are numbered. So if you were to estimate or give us a round number, maybe you say that 300,000 hair strands. To me, that seems quite general. But he knows hair number one, hair number 1,100 and 1,999. He knows each one of them. And in that same scripture, he was saying that no bird falls to the ground without his knowledge. I'm sure that no strand of my hair falls to the ground without his knowledge. God is that detailed. So he's very, very great. He's so mighty. There's a scripture, there's a song we learned in Sunday school, right? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. But as great and big and as mighty as he is, he is also concerned. He's small enough to enter our hearts. He's small enough to be with us in the bathroom. He's small enough to be with us in those places. And he's also small enough, not small enough in that sense, but he brings himself to our world and manifests himself there. So God is big, he's mighty, he's dynamic, he's the miracle worker. But he has chosen us as his subjects, or his the people he wants to show his power through. And it's such a privilege. Amen. I wrote here, I found the meaning of signs. What is meaning of sign? What does a sign mean? A sign is something that points to something else. In a spiritual context, a sign is an event or an action that reveals God's presence, his power, and his purpose. A sign is a divine indicator. So just like we know the signs when rain is about to fall, or we know, or we even see signs on the road, it's pointing to something. So God has signs. Of course, we see signs in creation. But even, do you know that as you are seated there, you are a miracle? If you think about the miracle of conception and all of that and how you grow. I have children. I don't even know when they grow because I just see that the clothes don't fit anymore. It is amazing how God has just designed things for growth. Animals and all sorts. Those are signs pointing to the awesome God, pointing to the great God. And then wonder is something that causes awe, astonishment, amazement. It's an extraordinary event that goes beyond natural explanation. You may not be able to explain it or understand it. And those are the things that point to God. When you hear of healings, when you hear of manifestations of God's power, when you hear of miracles, those are signs and wonders that point to God. Remember, signs are things that point to God. So there are things, I would say that everything, generally everything, even the simple things you do, really is a wonder, is a miracle, because there are little miracles that we experience every day. However, there are some things that are very, very outstanding that if I said, for example, if I tell you in church, oh, I woke up this morning as a testimony, right? I come forward to say, I want to thank the Lord for a special thing he did for me. I woke up this morning and I saw the time was 6 o'clock. You know, everybody will be wondering, why did I come forward? Because they don't really consider it a miracle, because it's something we experience every day. These are daily miracles. However, there are some testimonies that cannot even be said in one sentence. I'll tell you the details of how everything and how a calamity almost happened, or how I was in the midst of something and God delivered me. And then everybody say, hey, that's a testimony, because it's bigger, it's better. God does miracles in all sizes, amen? Small ones, big ones, everyday ones. Praise the Lord. And they all point to God. As you are sitting there, you are a miracle. Can someone say, I am a miracle that the Lord has done? Hallelujah. So we mentioned that God is big, God is mighty. I'm still learning about him. I'm still learning about his wonder and his might. But he's so little, or he's so detailed, that he's interested in your life. And he wants to use you for his glory. He is mighty. One thing, most times when I start my prayers, I always focus on the bigness and the mightiness of God, or thanking him for who he is. Because there's one thing for you to be great and mighty and influential,
But you're not willing to use that influence for someone in your sphere of influence. Why? Maybe you just don't like them. Maybe you just don't like their gods. Maybe they offended you. So you have things, you have connections, you have people, but you just choose not to use it. You don't offer it to them. But God is not like that. As great and powerful and as mighty as he is, he still chooses to bless us. He still chooses. So we can say God is great, but there's God is great in my life. God is a miraculous God, but God is miraculous in my life. That is what God wants to do. And that scripture that we know so much, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. John 3:16, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting. That's why he chooses to display his power in our lives, because he loves us. Because he determined from the beginning that we are to walk instead with him, walk, be co-laborers with him, to display his power on earth. Remember, in the beginning, God created man. And he said, let them have dominion. God, when he finished creation and put man there, it's almost as if he's like, well, I know man got it. He can name all the animals. He can take care of the garden. He can reproduce. He can, you know, have dominion over the earth. God never determined that. He didn't want us to be like hands-off creations. He wanted us to have dominion here on earth. And so that's why I'm moving from knowing God as a God of signs and wonders, and to us saying, I am for signs and wonders. Agreeing with God and saying, yes, you are a God of signs and wonders. I am for signs and wonders. I will see your signs and wonders in my life, and I will do signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Let's read this scripture. We already read Isaiah 8:18. Let's read Psalm 71 from 7 to 8. Psalm 71 from 7 to 8. This was David speaking, and he says, I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. That is God's plan for you, to become a wonder to many, for him to display his power in your life. As a Christian, you've already signed up to a miraculous life, even if you didn't know about it. You know, there's one thing for you to have a treasure. There's one thing, another thing for you to know you have the treasure. There's another thing for you to know you have the treasure and open it up. Those are three different things. So someone may tell me, I've put money in an account for you. Maybe the person did it without telling me. Right? So I have it, but I don't know. But now he tells me I have that money. This is the bank. This is the card. This is the PIN. This is the PIN to access that money. But I don't go to get the money, because I'm tired. I'm lazy. It's slow. It's snowing out there. Or the bank is too far. Whatever excuses. I hope that this message will just awaken us up to the miraculous lifestyle that God designed for us to have. I started by saying that as a Christian, you already signed up for a miraculous life, because to believe in Jesus, to believe in the work that he did, you believed in a miracle. Not everybody believes this. You believed in the miraculous conception of Jesus. You believed the life, the miraculous life he lived on earth. You believed that he died and he rose again, miraculously. If you read the story, the Easter story, you will see that the stone was rolled away. There were many miraculous things at his death and resurrection. So if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for you, you have signed up for a miraculous life. And there's no turning back, right? No. It's already too late, though. So because some people can say, oh, the miraculous is only for people like Pastor E or Pastor E Adeboye or General Overseer. If I need a miracle, then I go to them to pray for me to have the miracle. Then I go with my miracle. Then I continue my life generally. But that's not true. We're supposed to be experiencing the miraculous daily. and activating, just like I mentioned, you have a treasure, then go to the bank account, make withdrawals out of what God has already done for you. So as a believer, you already believe in the miraculous. Now you need to be more conscious of it. You need to learn about it. That's why we study the word of God. That's why we pray. Because Jesus himself also said, greater works than this will you do. And in as much as we read, when you read the scriptures and you see yourself, or you look at the scriptures and say, how can I apply this to my life? That is you on a quest to experience the miraculous, or to deliver on the miraculous. You know, someone was saying about the story of Jesus, and there's a place for that. Where Jesus was on a journey somewhere, and the woman with the issue of blood was pressing to get to Jesus. She said to herself, if I but touch his garment, I will be made whole. And she had it in her heart, and she pressed, she touched the garment, she was whole, and Jesus said, who touched me? That thing was so dramatic, and we've all learned from that when we press for the presence of God, when we call on the Lord, when we have a determination in our heart that I must touch the Lord, I will receive from him. Our expectations will not be cut short, right? But there's a way you can see that scripture and not identify as Jesus in that story. You can be the Jesus that when people touch you, they will be healed. Because Jesus said, greater works than I did will you do. I mean, in the little way the Lord has helped me, some of the utterances or the things that I've made, either through my messages or just one-on-one conversations, people will come or they'll say, pray with me or agree with me concerning something. And they come back and give the testimony. Sometimes I'm shocked about the things they tell me that I said when they brought the matter to me. Or maybe when I was just declaring from the altar. Because they had an expectation that if they just hear a word, in fact, someone gave a testimony about a job that he got. He lost a job. And I just said, oh, don't worry. The Lord will provide one. And it will be soon. And I think the next week, he got the job. He just needed that encouragement. When he even gave the testimony, I was shocked. Because I thought I was, in quote, just encouraging him. But that word had power to deliver. That word was a prophecy. We are for signs and wonders. We should not lose sight of that fact. Amen? Jesus said greater works. This is what Jesus said when he was leaving his disciples. Let's read Mark chapter 16 from 15, maybe to 20. Mark 16, 15 to 20. Okay, I'll start reading from here. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's talking about you. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. This is how the book of Mark ended. And when I was meditating on this scripture, I saw that Jesus believed so much in the power or the commissioning of his disciples that after he declared to them what to do, he went to heaven and sat down. It's like I believe so much that when I give my child an instruction, I don't need to follow that child to make sure they do it. Or I don't need to, it's almost like I say, okay, go to my room, on my bed, you'll find this. I just leave the instruction at that. And I sit in the living room waiting for him to deliver. Because I already went ahead, I already know the picture of my room, I already know exactly where those things are. Sometimes it's not true, I'm human. And they'll tell me, oh, I went there to the bed. If I did, they went with an obedient heart, right? They say, I forgot, it must be on the floor. Just search everywhere and bring it to me. But I say that to say that God, Jesus, gave his disciples an instruction. He says, go into the world, preach. And he gave them a promise that they will do this, they will do that, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. And then he ascended to heaven and he sat down comfortably because he believed so much in the instruction he gave us. And if Jesus gave that instruction to us, we should follow through, obey, and walk in faith, knowing that just like he walked with the disciples when they carried out that assignment, he said he walked with them with accompanying signs. He also will follow through with accompanying signs in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay connected. Let's try not to be distracted. I know it might be difficult, but let's try. So I just want to go through some of the ways we can experience the miraculous. As I was writing this, or as I was just thinking about how to convey this, I remember some other things that one can do to experience the miraculous. I did not include them here. So this is just me saying that this is not an exhaustive list, but it's something that I know will help you on your journey of experiencing the miraculous. Amen? How many of us are blessed so far? I need some form of some action over there. Thank you. Thank you so much for the love. Amen. So we have established that God is a God of signs and wonders. He also wants us to be signs and wonders. We're not going back on that commission or that instruction that the Lord has given us. The first thing I have here is embrace. Embrace your divine nature. As I said, there's no going back. You're already divine. The Bible says that anyone who believes in Christ, if you receive Christ, you're a new creature. All things are passed away. So it's not, you cannot be comparing yourself to a natural man because you're a new creature. You need to realize that we are children of God and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. When you realize that you are not alone, that God is with you, that you are sent on assignment, it gives you a lot of confidence and courage to live boldly because of the power, the backing that you have. Amen. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Emphasizing the fact that Christ went to heaven and he's seated at the place of honor. So it says here, now Christ has gone to heaven. He's seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. Now this authority that he has won through conquest when he died and rose again. He gave it to us. Let's also read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. By the way, Ephesians is a very, very good book of the Bible to help you understand your place in Christ Jesus. You will see a lot of references to in him. In him we have redemption. In him. And so wherever you see Christ, you can put your name there because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 in the NLT maybe. Ephesians 2, 6. And raised us up. So Christ is seated in the heavenly place. And this is what it says concerning us. And raised us up. Sorry, let's go to the one you had before. I believe that was NKJV. Sorry for confusing you. Ephesians 2, 6. Okay. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can we read that together? And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One more time. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to invest in your knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. Invest in your knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. You are chosen of him. You have a divine nature. The next thing I have here, after you've embraced your divine nature, you exercise your authority. You mentioned the fact that you had someone open a bank account in your name, put something in trust there for you. but you don't know about it, then you know about it. And so what are you going to do about what you know? Those are different stages to accessing that wealth or that provision that has been made available for you. As believers, we've been given authority in the name of Jesus over sin, sicknesses, disease, poverty, any work of the enemy. It is not in our own strength. It is in God's strength. It's what Jesus did. And I think a lot of us need reminders that it's not you. You're not the one who has the power directly. You have it through Jesus. Because sometimes when we look at our failings and our the places we fall short, that kind of robs us of our confidence in coming to God or asking for things, or in our boldness to express the fullness of God or to become a sign and a wonder. We look at ourselves, or look at our backgrounds, we look at our mistakes, we look at the past. But we need to realize that it is in Christ Jesus that we have victory. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, 19, that he has given us power to overcome all the, giving us authority to overcome all the powers of the enemy. That is his promise to you. Let's read that scripture. Luke chapter 10, 19. Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to exercise the authority. Now, you have that authority as you become a child of God. Once you receive Christ as your Lord, you have signed up for a miraculous life. But you need to take steps out to walk in boldness and confidence in that calling that God has called you to. Start with the simple things. Like I said, God is interested in every detail of your life, including your hair strands. What will a miraculous life look like to you? How can you involve God in your daily actions? How can you involve him in your daily needs? Concerning your finances, concerning your health, exercise your authority there. The Bible was talking about how Jesus was, and his disciples, Jesus wanted fruit from a tree, and he cursed that tree. You can speak to things. You can speak to mountains. You can speak to situations. You can speak to illnesses, and they will listen to you. There was one day, and this is a very, very simple example. One day, I believe it was on the day of the regional women's conference, I had taken my daughter with me, and she had been complaining of her eye hurting. And I could see sometimes she can be very interesting, so she might complain about the slightest things that I know she can, you know, do away with. But this was persistent. So I said, why on this, you know, regional conference day is this thing happening? So she kept complaining. I said, do you want to go for the conference or not? Because you have an option. You can stay with your daddy or you can come with me. And she says, I want to come with you, but I'm sick. I said, well, if you are feeling this hurt, then just stay at home, because I don't want anyone call, because I knew I was going to be busy. I didn't want anyone calling me from the stage to say that my daughter needs attention. I said, if you need attention, I understand. But she wanted both. She wanted to come. And so she said, well, if you're coming with me, make sure you don't tell anybody that you're upset. I said, it's only if it's very bad. If it's very bad, then tell them and they'll come call me. But if it's not bad, then just, you know, distract yourself, do other things. And so we went, and then after the conference, I went to pick her and I said, how are you doing? And she said, I feel so bad. I could tell looking at it, one of it was a little swollen and it seemed like a boil was about to come out. So I said, oh, and I was, you know, pampering her. I said, okay, don't worry. I said, so why didn't you call for me? She said, because you said I shouldn't say anything. I said, okay, I'm so sorry. So I was, you know, just comforting her. And suddenly in my spirit, I got to realize that in Deuteronomy 28, concerning the curses, boil was part of the boils was in that list. I don't know. I've never, maybe I heard it somewhere before, but it just occurred to me. And so I just prayed over the eye. I said, in the name of Jesus, this boil disappears in Jesus' name. I did whatever I could do in the natural, make her feel all right. She doesn't like taking medicine, so she didn't want to take Tylenol or ibuprofen. couple of hours later, I think I put a Vaseline or anointment on it. I asked her, how do I feel better? I feel better. That thing didn't come again. It didn't come again. That is exercising your authority. And that is little. I mean, if the boil comes, it will burst, right? It will go. But I don't know why I remembered at that time that boil is part of the curse. Any form of sickness is part of the curse. And we can exercise authority over it. We can exercise authority over it. I tell you, if I can exercise authority over a boil, then I will have the grace and the boldness, because I've exercised it and it has happened and I've shared the testimony with you. Then I can exercise it over headache. I can exercise it over pain or a wound. But you have to cash in on that inheritance of the supernatural. I say, yeah, it's okay to go through it naturally. It's not the end of the world. But how will you exercise your faith? How are you going to exercise your faith? And this is the problem with some people. They get maybe a cancer diagnosis, and they have not experienced, they have not cashed in on the power of God for their headaches. And then they say they are not taking medication for cancer. How does that work? Except the Lord himself has revealed it to them and enabled them in a special kind of way. But if you have proven God with your headache, proven God with different steps in your life, then when the tough things come, you have proven that muscle strong enough to believe in it. And it will work for you. Amen? Just like people who are single, they want to hear God when it comes to getting married. But they've never heard him. Even with just normal relationships, apologize, forgive. When the Lord is nudging you on those things, don't go out today. You didn't listen to him. You didn't seek to hear his voice, even in your personal time. But because you know marriage is very, very important, I must not fail. I must not get married to another person's rib or bone. Then you want to hear the Lord right now. God in his mercy does things, but this is a process we need to walk through. Exercise it. I'm saying that to exercise it. Ask the Lord for supernatural provision when it comes to parking. Supernatural provision when it comes to your daily assignment at work. Your education. Your marriage. Exercise your authority. Exercise that power. There was one time I had an experience at work. There was this particular lady. And sometimes I look back at that experience and I felt like, you know, if I had stayed there in that place, because it was quite toxic, I had to leave to another position. I just made a lateral move, which the Lord in his mercy made provision that in that new place, I got a promotion. But for me, at that time, I was thinking about it, that lady was like a Penina in a situation, because she was doing a lot of things to get me upset. And it was almost like, okay, if you're going to do this to me, you know how Penina really pressurized the other wife, and then she went to God, she prayed, and she got her miracle. That seemed like a process for me. But I often wonder if I had stayed in that place and exerted my authority. Because eventually I left the place. Well, somehow in my mind, I'm like, I shouldn't have left that place for her. She should have left for me. In my mind, I just felt like, you know, maybe if I had pressed in a little bit more, you know. And so this is an example. This is one of the petty things that she could do. So we could be in a cubicle and there's A, B, C, and D. And assuming I'm D, she'll say, good morning A, good morning B, good morning C. And she, like, loudly. Then she was insisting I did some things. And she was not my boss, actually. She was a boss in an adjacent department. But because we work together, somehow we do things together. And I mean, I didn't report her to say, but I said, okay, these are the scenarios that happened. And it seemed like they were slow on doing things. A lot of things were happening there. But I just said to myself, you know, I like my peace. I don't want, so I moved to another department, went to another, and later got a promotion. Glory to God. But sometimes I think that, would I consider that as a loss? I know I prayed to God about it. Lord, help me. Most of the prayers I recall that I prayed during that time was, Lord, help me deal with this situation. Help me be patient. Help me be kind. Well, I did not pray those Psalm 35 kind of prayer, or, you know, casting out demons. Because really it was a demon manifesting in strife and, you know, trying to oppress. And not saying this, if I had prayed that prayer, I probably would have prayed concerning the spirit, not her. And that would have helped me maybe go through that situation. I just somehow feel like, you know, maybe that's what I should have done there. But you have power. You have authority. I've seen people... there was a time I was listening to a sermon. This woman said she was in a place, she was talking to someone, and there was someone manifesting as a demon, and she called all the people one by one. Says, you have light. You have light. You, all the people that were born again, she identified them. So in the spirit realm, she knew they had something, whereas they themselves, because they were shocked. They were like, oh, I have light. I have... because they didn't know their authority. They couldn't exercise it at that point. So we have work to do in realizing who we are in Christ. We are here for a reason. There are places, there are mountains for us to take over in different areas of our lives. It starts with exercising our authority in the little things and the big things. The Lord will grant us understanding and give us boldness in the name of Jesus. Another scripture I referenced here is Luke chapter 4, verse 39. And this was Jesus concerning, I believe this was Peter's wife. He said he stood over her. She was sick. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. So you can speak to things. You can speak to situations. And immediately she rose and served them. The next tip I mentioned here is engage in corporate prayer and unity. Engage in corporate prayer and unity. There is a unique power that is released when people come together to pray. And I put unity there because the enemy a lot of times tries to divide us against ourselves, that we lose sight of who the real enemy is. So instead of fighting the enemy or advancing the kingdom of God together, we end up fighting ourselves. And that's a distraction. So we need to see what the distractions are and call it what it is. That I'm not going to be a partaker of this unity. I'm not going to assist the enemy in this effort to lessen our power or our influence. The story I have here is in Acts chapter 12 from verse 1 to 17. It's long. I won't read it, but I think we have time. But I think it's long. It's Acts chapter 12, 1 to 17. I'll recount the story so we know what it is. But there's one scripture that says in Matthew chapter 18, 19 to 20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So the story I was referring to in Acts chapter 12 was about Peter. He was locked up in prison. And people were praying. The church was praying for him. And while he was there, there was a supernatural encounter. An angel came, broke the chains off of him, told him to wear his clothes, and then took him through the first gate, took him through the second gate. He went to the market square, and then the angel disappeared. He said in that account that he thought he was dreaming. Peter thought he didn't know it was real life, that all these things were happening. And so he thought to himself, oh, now that I'm free, let me go to this home church where he knew they were praying, or I don't know how he knew, but he just went to a friend's house. That's where Rhoda came to him. He was knocking the door, and Rhoda came to him. She was excited. She said, come and see Peter. Peter has been released. They didn't believe her. So her people did not believe her. And they said, you must be drunk. They didn't believe her. It was after the persistent knocking that they all came to see that it was Peter who was at the door. So sometimes when we are praying for something, we don't believe that it will happen. Or maybe we don't believe it will happen the way we are praying. And that's why with the miraculous, you need to be flexible, because maybe what they were expecting was that the authorities at the time will release him the normal way. Maybe they were expecting, we find him innocent, we release him. They didn't expect that he will be knocking at the door. They didn't expect that he will be knocking at the door. So we need to be flexible about how, I guess that leads to the next point. We need to empty ourselves of our ideas about how God will answer a prayer or how he will manifest in our lives. You need to empty yourselves of that. Empty yourselves of that. Jesus himself, different people who were blind, he ministered to them different ways. Some of them he spoke. Some of them he did a mixture. But they had specific. And some of them he touched again. There was one person he touched. He didn't see very well. He said, I see men as trees. And he touched again. And they were healed. So we need to stop having a fixed mindset to say, oh, this is how the Lord must answer me. This is how the miraculous must answer. Even in service today, even though it may not be the perfect environment, you feel like, oh, if everything was perfect, then I know God has moved. No. When you expect the supernatural, even on certain places, and ask God, you lean into God to move and to speak to you in ways that you have not experienced before, then you open the opportunity for God to manifest. Amen? So I crossed over to the next point, which was empty yourself to be led by him. Bible says, familiar scripture, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he leads you, then you get to see his provision. I also mentioned that Jesus healed similar situations in different ways because he was led by the Spirit of God. Another example was even the children of the Israelites, the children of Israel. There was a time that, you know, the rod was placed on the Red Sea. And the sea divided, right? They crossed through and their enemies were destroyed immediately. But there was another time God told them to march around 7 times. That was the way that God wanted to manifest. And they just needed to be yielded to him. Yielded to him. Sometimes God will ask you to pray, ask you to fast for a certain amount of time. It may not even be the corporate one that we do here in church. It may ask you to take extra steps. It may ask you to sow a seed. It might ask you to show kindness to someone. That is the way to be led of the Spirit of God to receive the miraculous. Not because you want to receive the miraculous, but you know that in working with him, your miraculous life will manifest. Amen? And the last one I have here is expectation. Expect the miraculous. You must cultivate the spirit of expectation. I believe it's a spiritual exercise when we have faith. You know, Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have an expectation. You have a confident hope that when you pray, the Lord will answer. When you speak to things, they will align. Have that expectation. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. But the raw materials for those manifestations and the miracles, the raw materials for those things was the expectation. The expectation. The expectation is the seed for manifestation. Hallelujah. You can expect something. Pastor James mentioned that the man at the gate called beautiful in Acts chapter 3. He was expecting to receive something. And the beautiful thing about God is he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. And he wants to do exceedingly abundantly. He just needs our faith. He just needs our expectation that he will walk on. Sometimes it's instant. It's an instant miracle. Sometimes it's a process. But we need to stand firm in that place to say, I've been called to a life of the miraculous. And I refuse to live an ordinary life. I must see the miraculous. I and my children are not normal children. They are exceptional children by divine nature. Because they are children of God. What people have said they will not be able to achieve, they will be able to achieve it because the power of God is at work in them. Because we are cashing in on the abundance and the provision of God. Is the authority that he has given us. Remember he said, I've given you authority to trample. So I may not have gone to the cross. I may not have been the one that died. I may not have been the one that resurrected. But Jesus did. And I am in Christ. And so if he's victorious, I am victorious. I tell you, Jesus still saves today. He still delivers today. He still opened doors today. And it will be so in your life for you to receive and experience the miraculous in the mighty name of Jesus. And he will also use you to be a blessing to your world. You know, when you think of the miraculous, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, verse 32, that they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. It comes with knowing God. Daniel, in his own days, he was probably who some will call an apostle in the marketplace. Because I know that if you read the scriptures, sometimes when you see the disciples, you say, oh, I'm not called to full-time ministry. Why are you demanding miracles from me? I just want to go to work and come back. I just want to have a peaceful home. I don't have any business praying for the sick. They can go to the clinic and the Lord will touch them there, or they can go and see Pastor E. But God put you in that place, that office, that school, to shine the light there. He put you there for a purpose. What would have happened if someone like Joseph in scripture just said, I am regular? When he was called to the palace, when he was called to give solutions that will save their people and his own people, there's more. There's more that God has in store for us. There's more that we can do. Let us take those steps, those bold steps, and declare in the name of Jesus, I am for signs and wonders. I don't live a regular life. Sickness, poverty, all those things don't have hold over me because I'm not regular. When men say there's a casting down, I will say there's a lifting up. I will use my authority in Christ Jesus. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So I'm free from sin, sickness, and poverty. Can I also say that even in this world where there's a lot of sin, where people are falling for anything, by the special grace of God, the anointing on your life, you can stand when others are falling. That others do it doesn't mean I have to. Because I'm different, hallelujah. I'm supernatural, hallelujah. I live the miraculous, amen. And I experience it on a daily basis in Jesus' name. Can we just bow our heads this afternoon?